Emmanuel, God with us. This time on Telling the Truth, Stuart Briscoe talks about the God who is with us to save. That's why Jesus came as a little baby in a stable so long ago. Stuart will tell us more in a moment. As we get ready to close out another year of ministry at Telling the Truth, your partnership is more vital than ever to keep sharing Stuart and Jill's wit and wisdom in the year ahead and beyond. And when you give today, your support will be doubled by a $120,000 matching grant. We'll say thanks for your gift with a copy of The Best of 2023, featuring the Briscoes' most loved messages from this year. So call today to have your year-end gift matched and request your copy of The Best of 2023. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart with his message, God with us to save.
Some people just don't believe that God exists. That's all there is to it. Other people think he exists, but they don't really see the relevance of him. In their conception, he is the great creator who sort of wound up the world and been sort of casually observing it, gradually winding down. Other people think he exists, but they see him as a kind of celestial Santa Claus who occasionally dispenses goodies and then disappears for 12 months. Others think of him as being rather like a sick relative. You know he's there and you feel guilty that you don't bother with him very much, but once in a while you show up just to see how he's doing. And others sort of have the impression that he's rather benign, absent-minded, and sort of cuddly. And it will all come out in the wash, and we really don't need to worry about him too much. And the Christian message is that when Jesus Christ was born on that first Christmas time, it was actually God, the transcendent, awesome, holy, righteous God, the creator and upholder of all things, it was actually God with us, Emmanuel. Now, that is either the most palpable nonsense or the most sublime truth. It is certainly not something that we can treat with benign neglect. We either reject it out of hand and say, don't give me that nonsense, or we say, that is utterly incredible. It's wonderful. But then the question would come to mind, but why would God visit us? Well, the angel not only said to Joseph, his name is Emmanuel, he said, you shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Emmanuel is Jesus. God with us is the one who would save us from our sins. And yet, if it is true that Christmas is all about God with us as Jesus, with the express purpose of saving us from our sin, we need to think about salvation. We need to think about sin at Christmas. Now, what do we mean by sin? We should never confuse illegal with sinful. What's the difference? Well, the difference is this, that which is illegal contravenes the law of the land. But that which is sinful contravenes the law of God. And the two are not necessarily even close to each other. Now, a lot of people are very concerned about being legal. They want to stay out of jail, which is a very, very good thing to do. So please don't let me discourage you if that is your major concern. But let me assure you, it is perfectly possible to live a thoroughly legal life and be utterly sinful at the same time. And there's something far more important than being legal. It is dealing with the sin problem. Now, if it is true that sin has to do with our relationship to God as opposed to relating to the law of the land, what is the issue? Well, the issue is this, that God created human beings to be dependent upon him and obedient to him. We've heard that over and over again. And he gave us opportunities to do it. And the net result is that we find that we prefer to be independent of God, in other words, to do our own thing, He becomes an inconvenience at times. And instead of being dependent, we prefer to be independent. And instead of being obedient, that's really a drag at times. We find it much easier to be disobedient. Now, if we prefer independence to dependence and disobedience to obedience, what we do is we defy the divine will. And if we defy the divine will, we deny the divine authority. And that is what is happening in our hearts. That is what is happening in our relationships. That is what is happening in our culture, in our society. Now, as we look at our world, we have no difficulty at all identifying what is untrue, what is unrighteous, what is ugly, what is crude, what is destructive. You see, when we identify these things, we are identifying the defiling of the divine order. For the God who is good and right and true created an order that is good and right and true. But the denying of the divine authority and the defying of the divine will introduce a defiling of the divine order. We call it sin. And it is pervasive. It's wherever you look. Now, I'm not just talking about institutionalized sin. I'm not just talking about sin in an abstract sense. I'm talking about a powerful thing called sin that resides in the human being. It is a dynamic within us. There is in every human being a little pilot light, a little thing burning there. It is an inclination. It is a proclivity to sin. Theologians call it fallenness, or they call it original sin, or they call it flesh. There is in all of us an inclination to denial, an inclination to defiance of divine will and divine order. It is a powerful dynamic with us. It is unobtrusive at times until the right gases just come our way. So that if I find myself confronted with certain sexually oriented images, guess what? The little pilot light poofs into flame and lust takes over. Or I find myself in a situation where somebody else has got what I want. The little pilot light finds that the gas is coming over and poofs. Envy takes over. Or I find myself in a situation where I can make a quick buck and I can cut some corners and the little pilot light is burning there just waiting for it and the gas comes down. Poof. Guess what? Hypocrisy and lying and cheating take over. You get my drift, don't you? Paul put it this way. He said, the good things that I plan to do, I don't do them. I make great resolution, but I don't do them. And the bad things that I promise myself I will no longer do, I find myself reverting to them constantly. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. And then he explains what the problem is. He said, it's sin. Now, there's a man who's come to terms with himself. He's not fobbing it off. He's not giving it fancy names. He is saying there is a proclivity, an inclination in me towards denial of divine authority and defiance of God's will, an embracing of independence in the place of dependence, an enamorment of disobedience rather than obedience, and I find the pilot light is burning and the circumstances come my way and I find myself doing things that I have no business doing, and contributing to the disorder, contributing to the sense that all is not well. I may feel that my contribution is minimal, but I know I'm part of it. There's a sin problem in our world, it's in our society, and it's in me. That's the bad news, and here's the good news. Emmanuel, God is with us. In the person of Jesus to save us from our sins. But who cares about being saved if they've never grappled with their sin? Why look for a remedy if you haven't discovered the sickness? Why look for a solution if you haven't grasped the problem? In all the superficialities of contemporary Christmas, and in all the trivialities that will grasp our mind and demand our energy and our time this Christmas time, what we really need is to take some good, long, hard contemplation on the reality of sin, which is not only a denial and a defiance and a defiling, and a dynamic, but it is a degenerative in our lives too. It has a progressively degenerating effect upon us. How many addicts started out with fun? I don't care what the addiction might be. Most of the addiction started out with the idea of fun. This is a plaything. And in the end, it played relentlessly and mercilessly with you. And I'm not just talking about cocaine, and I'm not just talking about pornography. I'm talking about addiction to anger, and I'm talking about addiction to greed, and I'm talking about addiction to envy. I'm talking about sin.
Stuart Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth, and he's going right back to the first chapter of Matthew to talk about sin, divine authority, and how Jesus came to redeem us in just a moment. We've got some exciting news to share with you. Some generous friends who love God's Word and want to see it shared with more people around the world have come forward with a $120,000 matching grant that will double your gift this month to keep Stuart and Jill's teaching going out through Telling the Truth. This generous match means whatever you give today will be worth twice as much to share timeless and unchanging truth with more people around the world in 2024 and beyond, helping them experience life in Christ. As thanks for your support this month, we'll send you a copy of The Best of 2023, which includes the most loved teachings this year. And remember, your year-end gift is worth double thanks to the $120,000 match to keep sharing the life-changing truth of God's love with people across the globe through the resources and teaching of Telling the Truth. So be sure to request your copy of The Best of 2023 when you give today. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection. But we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Tell Me the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Tell Me the Truth app through your app store or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can also give to support Tell Me the Truth on our mobile app. Here's more from Stuart Briscoe on Telling the Truth.
First thing to bear in mind is this, that when we think in terms of sin, we've got to come to terms with the fact that sin is a fundamentally spiritual issue. Now, I'll grant you that this fundamental spiritual thing called sin has all kinds of societal ramifications. The problem that we have is this, that we have become so alert to and aware of the societal ramifications of a spiritual problem that we feel that if we can get a social response to a societal problem, we've solved the problem. I have no idea what the reason for it is, but I do know this, that it is perfectly possible to get rid of violent crime and solve a societal problem and not deal with the root issues. For the root issues are fundamentally spiritual. I fully understand that societal concerns can produce societal situations. So there's no question about it that if somebody is born into an economically deprived area, if they are brought up in poverty, if they have very, very real difficulties in their area where there's all kinds of violent crime, there's a much higher probability of them finishing up in prison than if that were not the case. But I also know this. There are some people who are born and live in those kind of situations all their lives, and they're the most godly people on the face of God's green earth. And I also know that there are some kids brought up in the best part of the highest economic group in the most salubrious suburbs of the city, and they're utter crooks. What's the problem? The problem is to recognize there's a spiritual problem here. And you can find some people in desperate, desperate areas who live according to divine principle, and they're godly people in a hellhole. And you'll find other people who are utter rascals in a beautiful paradise. Don't confuse the issue here. It's a fundamental spiritual issue. And because the spiritual issue requires a spiritual remedy, we should applaud, we should be involved in, we should be concerned about social answers to societal problems. We should never confuse them with the spiritual root behind them. Second thing to bear in mind is this, that sin is a fundamentally eternal issue. The Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. We're all somewhat acquainted with death. We do know that it is a termination of temporal experience. We do know that Scripture teaches that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. In other words, we have all been taught that we are not just temporal, we have the potential to be eternal. There is an eternal dimension to our humanity. Now, if it is true that the wages of sin is death, and we read our Bibles carefully, we'll discover that the death that is the wages of sin is not just physical death, and it is not just spiritual death, it is eternal death. And because sin is a fundamentally eternal problem, it requires an eternal remedy. It's a spiritual problem requiring a spiritual remedy. It is an eternal problem requiring an eternal remedy. And as we've already pointed out, sin is fundamentally an affront to God. You remember? What is good and what is right and what is true, what is beautiful, what is noble. Don't do that garbage and it'll be good and right and true and noble and beautiful. We say we want to do it. What's wrong with us? Well, there's that pilot light. The problem with this pilot light is we deny and we defy and we defile. This dynamic degenerates within us. And as a result, we begin to discover, we discover what? We begin to discover that we are flying in the face of God. And if it is true that sin is a fundamentally spiritual problem requiring a spiritual answer, and it is an eternal problem requiring an eternal answer, it is a divine problem requiring a divine answer. And that is why God had to take the initiative. Did. Emmanuel, God with us, in the person of Jesus who came to save us from our sins. It's all because he came to redeem. He comes to release us from that which hinders and mars and spoils. Our guilt, our shame gives us forgiveness. He comes to be a counteracting dynamic in our lives to save us from that inner power in order that he might begin to change us more and more into his image, and we become his people. He came to redeem his people. But Psalm 130 tells us this, that in order that he might redeem his people, we must exclusively hope in him. Hope in him. Put our trust in him. Put our confidence in him. Roll our burden on him. Bring our guilt to him. Hand our lives over to him, and in so doing, begin to discover what it means to be redeemed, released, restored, renewed, refreshed, at dreadful cost to him. And as we discover more of his influence through our lives, we begin to pervade the area with a sense of order, a sense of peace, and come to think of it, wasn't that the message? Peace on earth? How important it is that we grapple with this whole point of Christmas, that it's about Emmanuel, God with us, to save us. Do you know his saving power? Are you discovering his redemptive power in your life? Are you conscious of the fact of being part of his people? Are you rejoicing in being the redeemed, the saved, the people who understand Christmas? I trust you are, but if you're not, don't waste this Christmas time. Bring your burden and bring your sin and bring your guilt and bring your shame. Bring it to him. Bring your brokenness and bring your pilot light. Present it to him. Seek his forgiveness. and his saving grace.
Seek his forgiveness and saving grace this Christmas. Powerful words from Stuart Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. He'll be right back to talk about choosing obedience and advice on sharing the message of Jesus. If today's teaching is blessing you, then we have an exciting offer to tell you about. We've pulled together 6 of the most loved teachings from the Briscoes this year in a special resource called The Best of 2023 that we'd love to send you today as thanks for your gift to help close out 2023 strong. Revisit some of the most powerful messages you've heard this year and be reminded of God's amazing love for you all year long with this special collection. And thanks to a generous $120,000 matching grant, whatever you give today will be doubled to help send the timeless teaching of truth around the world, trusting God to change lives in the year ahead. It's partners like you who make it possible to share messages like this one today with people across the globe. So if you haven't given before, consider a gift today worth double thanks to the match to help God's word going out around the world to you and many others. And remember to request your copy of The Best of 2023 when you call and give. Just call 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Now let's go to Stuart for some helpful advice on allowing Christ to do his work through us. Stuart, how can a believer choose to be dependent on God and obedient to him, even when they really don't want to?
Well, that's an interesting question. And as soon as I heard your question, I was reminded of the story of Simon Peter. Simon Peter, you may remember, had been fishing all night and caught nothing. He'd been cleaning his nets and presumably was looking forward to going home and having some breakfast and catching a few Z's before starting his day's work. And Jesus came along and borrowed his boat and preached a lengthy sermon from it, and then wanted to thank thank Peter by going fishing with him, and Peter really didn't want to go. And then it got even worse. Jesus said to him, let down your nets and let down your net for a catch. And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." And so he was obedient when he didn't particularly want to be. But the wonderful thing about it was that when he got around to being obedient, whether he wanted to be or not, the blessing flowed. And so the short answer to the question is yes. We can be obedient even when we don't really want to sometimes.
Stuart, how can we make others aware of the reality and the danger of sin without turning them off to the message of Jesus?
It's not just what we say that has an impact on people. Very, very often it's how we say what we say. Now, as far as talking to people about the reality and danger of sin, there's no question about it. Some people would be very upset if you speak to them about the subject of sin. But that does not mean we should not speak about the subject, because it is an important matter. But how we speak about it is of critical importance. So if we, in an accusatory sort of way, point our fingers at somebody's chest and accuse them of being sinners, etc., etc., then we can anticipate a negative reaction. If, on the other hand, we can talk about ourselves and our own failures and the way that we have discovered the reality of sin, and we have seen it and its negative impact on other people's lives, then people are much more likely to be receptive. So it's not just what you say, it is how you say what you say that very often will determine the response.
Thanks, Stuart. Before you go, we want to remind you of the $120,000 matching grant that will double your gift this month to send the timeless teaching of truth around the world through telling the truth. And when you give, we'll send you the Best of 2023 series with this year's most loved teachings. These encouraging messages will keep you reminded of God's love all next year. So please request your copy when you call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Thank you for joining us today on Telling the Truth. Join us next time as Stuart and Jill Briscoe explore more life-changing truth from the Bible. Listen in and experience life on Telling the Truth.